Chapter 9. A light burned Abigail's eyes. She pressed them closed and covered her face, but still saw it. And it was getting brighter.
Abigail!
Adam? Is that you?
When her eyes adjusted, she saw Adam moving toward her, lantern in hand. Seeing her on the ground, he ran to her. He knelt and pulled her to a sitting position.
Are you okay? What happened?
Pent-up tears of fear broke free and commingled with sobs of relief as Adam held her. When the tears had done their work and feeling returned to her leg, she let go of Adam and stood. Blood ran from her hands, but it wasn't hers. The lantern light revealed lacerations on Adam's arms, neck, and face.
Oh, Adam, what happened?
I'm fine. There's some ornery critters down here, but that one, let's just say he won't be bothering anyone ever again.
When you left, didn't you go back that way?
She pointed.
How did you get...
All these tunnels connect, but don't worry, I know a way to the surface.
She grasped his arm.
Take me out of here.
Adam's decisiveness at each fork in the tunnels gave Abigail comfort. He knew where he was going.
Where will we come out? Can we take these tunnels all the way out of the orchard?
I'm afraid not. We'll have to pass through the orchard above ground.
She slowed. Hope drained from her like water from a sieve.
Adam, when I see the fruit, I lose control. Sometimes I even...
She took his arm.
I don't think I can do it.
Adam stopped, set the lantern on the ground, and took her face in both hands. You can do it. The ruler promised. And no matter how many times you stumble, I won't leave you. My mission is to present you to the ruler safe and sound, and I will die before leaving this place without you. She laid her head against his hand and closed her eyes. Her soul soaked in his confident, reassuring tone, like a dry, withering plant taking in a gentle rain. She opened her eyes and looked up at him.
I keep thinking about what you said about desires and what my heart values. I try to tell myself that the banquet is the ultimate treasure, but nothing changes.
It doesn't have to be the exuberant delight you had before. You said yourself that your desires for the fruit are weak. All you need is desire for the banquet that is slightly stronger than that. That's all it will take to break the chains. Once you're free, then we can work on the next steps.
Her skin cooled, raising goosebumps.
What was that?
She hadn't felt that sensation since...
Did I just imagine that? There it is again.
This time her hair moved ever so slightly.
The breeze!
Adam's words were beginning to make sense. She thought of her hiding place in the cave. It was a horrible place, yet she had chosen to remain in it. Miserable as it was, she stayed because there was no other option she desired more. That crevice was like the orchard, a miserable haven she couldn't leave, because as weak as her desires for fruit were, her desires for real food were weaker still.
If my desire for the ruler and his banquet is so weak that it isn't enough to free me from this place, how do I change that?
The only place desires change is in the happiness room. The ruler told me of your experiences in that room and sent me to show you why it didn't work for you.
She gave him a sideways look.
I'm listening.
The lantern flickered. Adam trimmed it, picked it up, and resumed walking.
The ruler took me to the happiness room right after my second visit to the mirror room. I could hardly keep up with him in the hallway. He was so excited. But when we got to the door, he said, "You wait out here," and then went inside.
He did that with me, too, she said. I finally went in, but he wasn't there. I looked around for a while, then left. When you went in, did you see him?
Not at first, but I knew he had to be in there somewhere, so I kept searching. It's a huge room, the biggest in the whole cottage. Several times I thought I had searched every possible place and felt like giving up, but I wanted so badly to find him. I looked some more. Each time that happened, I discovered a new area I hadn't yet searched.
So did you find him?
Yes. One of the times I was about to give up, out of the corner of my eye, I saw two of his colors shining on a wall. My heart raced. I couldn't tell at first where the colors were coming from, but I knew he had to be near. So I called out. There was no response, but I kept calling, louder and louder. Before long, I was shouting at the top of my lungs until he finally answered. Abigail listened, transfixed.
What did he say?
He told me to sit down and watch the colors. So I did. For a long time, I sat and watched them move along the wall. The longer I watched, the more colors I saw.
And that gave you happiness?
Not really. I very much enjoyed watching them, but that isn't what gave me happiness. She stopped walking and grabbed his arm.
How did you get it?
Just listen, he said with a wink, reminding her of when she had said that to him. He resumed walking. After I had watched for some time, the ruler told me to get up and go over to the wall. So I did. Then he said, reach out your hand and touch one of the colors.
Abigail caught her breath. You touched them? What was that like?
I can't even describe the happiness I felt.
It was unlike anything I...
A broad smile cut off his words. It had never occurred to me that I could actually touch the colors.
But they're more than just refractions of light. They have substance. In fact, they're more substantial than anything else in the world. I could touch them, pull them around me like a robe, even climb inside them. The more contact I had with them, the more intense the effects became.
Effects? You mean happiness?
Definitely happiness, but more than that.
What I experienced was better than life itself, better than all the best things in life. They strengthened me. While I touched them, I thought, no, I knew I could go through the worst imaginable suffering without losing my joy. I felt courage. I understood things that never made sense before. I was full of hope, full of love. My soul was at peace. And most of all, my Judas desires weakened and my good desires became overpowering, especially my desire to be near the ruler.
Tears now streaked Abigail's face. She felt as if she were in that room touching the colors herself. And, in fact, she was. At least two of the ruler's colors caressed her. His love, which she experienced through this man the ruler had sent to help her, and his wisdom, which illuminated her soul as Adam spoke. She took a moment to enjoy touching these two colors, basking in pleasure. Joy trickled into her heart, and strength into her bones. The sensation sparked memories of past banquets, times when the rulers emerged from the kitchen and sat next to her and ate with her, times of loneliness when he found her in a secluded place and listened as she poured out her thoughts, moments when he escorted her through room after room in his cottage, overwhelming her with wonder. Gratitude stirred her affections as she remembered.
I wish I could go back to the way things were, she said wistfully.
No, Adam said. Not back. Forward. One thing I learned in the promise room, his colors are new every morning. He never runs out of ideas. What he has in store for you will dwarf even the best of what you knew in the past. Hope poured into Abigail's soul. A river of joy rose within her, fed by the three tributaries of gratitude from past experiences with the ruler, hope of future encounters, and delight in her enjoyment of his colors in the present. And as joy rose, her strongest desires shifted from the fruit to the ruler's banquet. Lucius stared at his empty hand, his cold, rigid fingers still curled in the shape of a heart that was no longer there.
I had her.
He stumbled, reeling from the shock of loss and disbelief. Abigail stood, shimmering before him like the haze of a dream. He reached for her, but the river of joy that washed her from his grasp held him at its banks. He cursed the wind.